What's up, everyone? We are talking Barry. Know Your Truth. This was the craziest episode ever. So long, Goron. RIP, beloved Detective Moss. You don't want to miss this. And we will be starting now on, like, Bill Hader's, Barry's lies to us. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Who's up next in the deck?
Look, I think he tried to ask. Be careful, Ray. Please, we can fix this.
I mean, if you pull the gun out, you might as well use it. That's how I feel.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
You guys, season finale of Barry, chapter 8, Know Your Truth. I still don't know Barry's truth.
No.
Before we get started, I'm Seth Sabra. To my left is the beautiful
Miss Conversation Piece.
What's up, party people? I'm Erica Edwards.
And I am Tequila. Come holla at me at Tequila_I am.
So this was the craziest finale that I would not have guessed this was going to happen. There wasn't a ton that happened, but I feel like a lot in terms of individual characters, it closed a lot of things, but also opens a lot of things for season two, when season two begins. So what was your guys' overall thoughts?
Man, I didn't want someone to go. Paula Newsom, Detective Moss. I got familiar with her when she came here.
Yes,
but
it made it extra hard.
She was so good that I knew that she was gonna go. So I just knew it. I just had a feeling. So.
Oh, I love this episode because I don't have to go back and watch one of our old tapings, but I could have sworn I thought I said Gorn was going to die and Noho Hank was going to take over. And I was like, yes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Your prediction came true.
Right. I did predict that, girl.
Yes.
I was like, although, obviously, I was really, really sad that, that Paula had to go.
And so am I. And I think, personal note, I need Miss Newsom, Detective Moss, to come back and chat with us because she didn't leave anything. She didn't spill
nothing.
Secrets. Like, this was a complete shock. Mm-hmm. And I'm sad. I need her in season two. So I don't know if we need thoughts or she can come back as a ghost or maybe I don't know, but I need her back in season two.
I agree. So this episode will be hitting Detective Moss, kind of the case being closed in their eyes. The Chechens and Fuchs, and Barry ends up saving the day with that, and then the whole weekend getaway, which I thought was a dream sequence the entire time. And then we'll have the special serial segment where she talks about one of the psycho serial killers in real life.
Yeah.
And then we won't have predictions this time, but kind of just a season wrap out. So let's just get into it. The Chechen, it starts where Barry says, I'm done with this, Fuchs. This time I'm done starting now. And then Fuchs, like the rat he is, goes to the Chechens and says, I'll bargain with you. I'll give you Barry. Did you guys have any idea? I thought that he was just going to die. I thought he was going to be the one to go this episode.
I thought that would be the easy choice. But what I don't understand about Fuchs is why doesn't he kill anybody? Like, I don't understand. Like, if you feel like your life is in danger, why do you have to bargain with them? You know they're killers. So you should be going in with your gun, like, ready to go to war. That's what I think. I don't know.
I thought he set himself up, too. Like, why are you going there unarmed, no Barry, and you're trying to make a truce with killers? That doesn't
need
to work
really
out well.
I wasn't surprised by that at all, because he started this war to begin with. Like, they basically are, basically idiots. I mean, they're cool and fun, but they're not that bright. So the whole time, I was like, he's going to talk his way out of it. I thought he was going to tell a guy, he was going to hook him up with a cute girl or something. I'm like, he's going to talk his way out of it, because as soon as they give him more time, he's always been able to talk out talk every single time.
He's a survivor to the max.
True.
He will always survive in these scenes. And I love how this show consistently makes, like, torture in the killing scenes the most kind of funny and comedic relief. We have Vasha's brother who comes back and says this is the way Vasha would have wanted him to die. And so that leaves kind of the space where Goron leaves to go get Barry. Noho ends up being left behind. and then he calls Barry, and classic NoHo just killing his lines once again, gives him the warning. He says, you know the song Fly Like an Eagle performed by Seal on the Space Jam soundtrack, and then take your money and fly like Bug Bunny. Like Bug Bunny.
Voice, yes. Why do you think he gave him the heads up, though?
Because of the scene where Gorn says, do you love Barry? And he does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Erica's always, this season, let's give it to Erica. She's been the one who brings, like, the realism that we don't, like, see. And she's like, no, I saw that coming. Right. I thought NoHo was just, like, the nice one out. But he really did love him.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think, because I really felt like when Gorn was like, do you love Barry? You kind of felt, and then remember when he thought Barry was dead, he was like really sad, like really, even more so than Fuchs. Like he was like really like, oh my gosh, I thought I saw Barry at the mall, you know, like he really missed him.
I didn't think it was love until just this episode. I thought it was really just his kindness. And that's how he played it off well enough. But as soon as Fuchs asked, Gorgon asked him, like, were you in love? It kind of seemed like the indecision in his face. Clicked, like, right? So I was like, oh, yeah, he's in love with Barry. Wow. So, yeah.
And I thought he also was in awe of Barry, because I think Barry does what all they want to do. They want to really be good professional killers, but obviously they're not. And Barry is, like, amazing. He was almost, like, I feel like the idol, or, like, the old guy, their hero, who they brought over is, like, 95. Barry's, like, that new person to them, I think, as
well. And it's like interesting that NoHo was, like, you're a nice guy, Barry. And it's just, like, this constant... moral of the story, I guess, where we're questioning how good of a person is Barry. Like, what makes someone good or bad?
He can't be good if he's killing cops. And, I mean,
he questions it himself, too, because there's not too many people that know that side of him. And so he is trying to start over and stop killing people and being a murderer. So he's trying to believe what those people are saying around him, that he is kind, that he is a good actor or can be, and move into that life and spotlight rather than what he's trying to leave behind.
I think because he doesn't want to do it, he's good. But then the fact that he actually pulls the trigger or doesn't pull himself out of the situation, that's the messed up part. So it's like, you still have a choice, even though you kind of feel like you're forced. You feel like, oh, I was in the military, I had to take orders or whatever, but you chose to sign up for the military. Mm-hmm. So
it was useful when he did come back and break his first time of saying this is it and save the day, and then end up, I mean, he's so good at his job, he was able to go on like Bolivian level of height or whatever and plot this whole thing, which led us to the detectives. But is there anything on that specific scene that you guys liked or wanted to mention?
I liked when Fuchs was like, oh, I gotta get my tooth, and then Barry was like, nah, forget your tooth.
But in saying that, though, they're gonna find his tooth when they were up there cleaning the whole scene and everything. They scooped it right on up and put it in a plastic bag, so that's gonna come back on them.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
come full circle, and if.
Which is what I thought. I thought it was gonna come full circle, but towards Fuchs. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I was like, well, maybe Fuchs will go down for this.
Oh. But you know, if Fuchs gets caught and alive, he's gonna tell on Barry. He's not gonna... Mm-hmm. Take the rap and go by himself.
True. That is very true.
Before we get to the Detective Moss and kind of the whole police force being led to them with the warrant and then later finding out what happened, B has a special announcement.
Yes, I want to have fun. I want to learn. I want to grow in all areas of my life, and I hope you do too. Yes. So if you would like to, we have got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. So make sure you tune in, because it features celebrity influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you always wanted. Just go to iTunes, subscribe, and like and comment and all that good stuff. And make sure you tell her the Barry panel.
Yes,
please.
Yes, guys. Check it out.
Yes, we watch and listen each and every week. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Make sure you check it out.
awesome. So then we have Detective Moss being, she was really happy because she got the warrant signed that they could go get Goron. And meanwhile, he's getting shot up.
Yeah.
So that's when they find out that they think that they've closed the case. And it was kind of sad. The only part that I was kind of glad that, you know, either way, the Bolivians and the Chechens, they're both mob leaders, gang leaders. Like, they're doing bad stuff. So I don't really care who takes the rap. Except I felt that bad that Ryan Madison had to take the rap.
Yes. Same here. I felt they were diminishing his actual character. He had nothing to do with it. And I just felt like his legacy is now wrapped up in all of that. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be.
Well, I feel like it happens a lot of times in cases in the real world. If you are caught up in something, they try to bring out that side of you. I think that's something that's a real life situation that happens. So I think that's where they pulled that from. Like, you don't agree?
No, only because he wasn't... Like, he was...
There's no specific evidence.
There's not him actually being involved with either side. Mm-hmm. He was just the piece that they were trying to connect everyone around to because they were looking for someone, not knowing that it was Barry that was connected to all these people in the round. But they thought, okay, well, because it started in the acting class, because they found that pamphlet in his belongings when they were investigating his death, so that he was the ringleader. He was not at all. So I just felt like he kind of... They're diminishing his love that the students have for him. You've seen them taking down his poster and plaque in the bar. I felt like that was kind of demeaning his legacy, friendship,
but,
whatever.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if a victim is killed or something, and they put his mugshot in the newspaper, you know what I mean? And then they diminish.
So you're saying that everything else about that victim is not praise. It's still, well, he was this or she was that. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, I got you now. Okay. Yeah, I can agree with you on that point.
I agree in the sense that I think law enforcement has a really great pressure to find answers and to find the killer or whoever was bad to bring justice to victims. Mm-hmm. So there is, we know there are people who are assumed of complete wrongdoings, and in this case, it's it. The only part, it's like, if this went to trial, there's no, I just don't think there's any actual real evidence pointing to him. Mm-hmm. So I just felt bad that his dad and all those people are going to see that, but Barry.
I definitely felt bad, but then I also feel, too, that to some extent, I mean, no one deserves this, but you have to realize if you start sleeping with a mobster's wife, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're already playing with fire. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, worse things can happen. So.
There's Erica bringing it around.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, not that he, you know, like, he didn't do anything. He just, as far as we know, he was just sleeping with the wife, but you know, I mean, that's how it started.
Did he know he was a mobster?
I think he should have known. He knew she was married. I mean, I don't know. Like,
just stay away from married people. Period. You don't know what their husband did.
Right.
I mean, you need to make sure you know. Like, for sure, if you're dealing with somebody named married, you need to know what could come after you for certain. Anyway,
definitely. Quick note before we get to the craziest part of this entire episode. If you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that like button and comment after this video so we can chat up Barry with you. And if you're listening on iTunes podcast, make sure to rate us 5 stars and also leave a comment so we can talk to you guys after this show is over, especially now that we have this gap before season 2.
Yeah.
So, I guess in a twist of events, time moved forward, we can assume, which is... We see Barry and Sally reading over lines. He's progressed in acting. He's progressed in his relationship and stuff.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. One thing I was going to say before you jump to that scene is that it's interesting because, as I predicted, NoHo Hank took over. And at the end of it, he was like, oh, Barry. And then the police are coming or whatever. And it's interesting because he could have, in theory, especially once he hooked up with the Bolivians and been like, okay, Barry called all of this. Mm-hmm. Let's go after him. And instead, they're kind of like chilling, having drinks, like, oh, this is nice to kind of kick it. So I liked that sort of wind up, I guess, of that little issue.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. That was a great just like comedic relief type scene. Right. And also gives us information into what we could maybe see in season 2.
Right.
And I'm so happy it involves NoHo.
Yeah. I know. Because he's such a goofball. He's going to make so many mistakes next season.
The way he talks is just so...
That's what gets me, yes. Because it's just so monotone, but it has that underlying comedy underneath them.
Yes,
it's just,
exactly.
Yeah, I love it.
Exactly.
So we have them, I guess, in this is Gene Cousineau's getaway house, I guess. Oh. It's a vacation home, yeah. I would assume. And we, Paula, Detective Moss arrives, and they're just, like, totally in love and so cute and natural, and everything's going so great. Barry and... The whole thing brought me into this disbelief, which we later find out if you watch HBO at the end of every episode, they give you a breakdown, and Bill Hader confirmed that that was the point of the direction, was to make it seem like it could have been one of the daydreams, oh. Which I do have to give kudos. This was written by Bill Hader and Alec Berg and directed by Alec Berg, and they just did such a great job with it. Did you guys, were you thinking that too? Or did you think, like, this was actually happening real time? Or when did you start realizing?
I thought it was actually happening of real course. Time. Of course. Here's why I thought. Because even though Sally was nicer and at least sort of revealing whatever about her marriage and that little scene at the bar, there was something about it where, like, in Barry's scenes, they're, like, happy in his mind. But there's something with her. Even when she's being nice, she's totally self-focused. She's you know, she hasn't really come all the way back, as far as I'm concerned. So even though she was, like, nice and you should continue acting, in a couple of those scenes, like, when Barry's like, oh, you're so wonderful, she's just kind of like, yeah, I am. You know what I mean? And so that's what really made me think, like, okay. Not that in particular, so but that's an example. So what are
you supposed to say? Thank you? She didn't say thank you?
I mean, she might have said thank you, but the whole point was Barry is good, too. And she's always, like, it's always all about her. And to me, every scene is still kind of like that with her, even when she's being, like, friendly or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so then there, I really had to, I was telling you guys before, I had to set a timer to realize that there's no way this could be fake at this point because the episode's almost done. Right. I was like, how long are they going to make this one? This one's really good. So they're at dinner with each other at the cabin or the getaway space, and the conversation arises of what Barry's future's plans are. And they say that you're just being too humble. And this, talk about plotting. Because this is, it's a callback from episode one, I believe, where Gene Cousineau sees Barry after the after class. And he asks him about his life. And he thinks Barry's giving him a made-up monologue. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's actually his life story. He repeats it in front of them. And you can just see Detective Moss's face shift. And then she played it off.
And well, see, this is the thing. I noticed she felt it, but I think she should have called for backup instead of. I mean, I think she wasn't really. She was really going outside by herself, so I guess she wasn't ready to jump the gun. So maybe that's why she kind of just her clocks were ticking up there, but. I don't know. She should have probably called for backup.
Well, she didn't really know for sure until she saw the Facebook page when she was already out there. Right, so, that's true. But I totally agree with you. Or to some extent, I was kind of like, all right, she's still relying on him being like her friend or something. Because realistically, I mean, he's in the military. She's a cop. Should have been that easy to overpower her. So it would have actually been interesting to even see that scene.
Or I thought she was trying to save everyone else from actually knowing what she knows about him and what he's done. So I thought maybe that she was just trying to keep that under wraps. So she thought she could handle it on her own. Again, which if you know what he has done and what his crimes he's committed, then again, I agree with you. She should have called for backup at least or sent a text to somebody like, this is what's happening.
Right.
If I'm not alive, come find me here or whatever.
She was not handling him like she, and maybe she didn't fully know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Maybe she knows that he was linked. Maybe she didn't really know all the people that he had killed. So maybe she wasn't really clear on that because it was like, you're not handling him as someone who really could overpower you and clearly murder you.
And also thought, from what she did know about another suspect that could have been him and she originally thought could have been him, that person to me, just from the video clip, they killed Bolivian. So I don't think it's necessarily like she couldn't have been positive that he's a threat, that he killed Ryan, you know, because you can see on the camera he's not. He's cleaning up the aftermath.
And I thought at that point, too, where he's trying to, like, plead with her and come to some resolution that he was going to tell her the whole story of why. Like, I wasn't going to kill him. I was made to kill him, or he was supposed to be my hit person, but I wasn't doing it. And then when I arrived, he was already killed. So I killed the Chechens for doing it. So I kind of thought he was going to go more into that, to trying to make her pull into his story and his side to see that he really is a nice guy. They kind of are the same people. And then it just works out from there.
But let's talk about the lake scene.
But isn't it crazy how, like, before he killed, what was his name, Chris? Mm-hmm. How he did the same thing. He's like, oh, you know, I'm just going to, you know, go to the police. I'm just going to forget about it. And then, you know, then he was like, no, he's not going to do that. And he killed him. So it was kind of like Barry knew on his end, because he planted a gun on a tree that he was going to kill her. So I don't know.
Because he's a killer. That's, I mean, if nothing else, he's going to protect himself. If nothing else, he has to.
So when do you think he put that gun on the tree?
Before he walked down. She was so engrossed in the Facebook page and finding out, and she was connecting the dots and they were linking together, and she didn't hear him sneak up till he started talking.
No, but it's an interesting point you bring up, that both times, I think you guys both kind of mentioned this, that he's faced with killing someone that wasn't usually in his job range, because he, as he always says, he only kills, like, jerks and people who he's told to. He does give this kind of monologue of, this really wasn't how my life was supposed to be and all of this, but they definitely have zero comparison. I mean, that was the part, like, Barry, you're stretching. She's a good woman.
Right. Well, and what was interesting, though, well, two things on that. One, I found that would have been interesting, but we didn't get to see this. Like, there was a point in the car with Chris where he realized Barry is going to kill me. And we never really got that point with Detective Moss. And I had to, you know, I was like, doesn't she, you know, it really up till the end, I feel like she was almost acting as if, like, she knew he killed people, but she wasn't really acting like she really believed him to be a threat to her, which is, you know, like, just surprising. Mm-hmm. But I do think that kind of here, not that she's not a good person, but I think that in almost every cop story, there is something in police officers. That's how they catch criminals anyway, really, is because they can think like that person. Mm-hmm. And they both do really want the same thing, to escape like whatever kind of craziness is their life and find it with this person that they both have found. So I think that to some extent she bought into that, and that's how he was able really to kill her. You know what I'm saying?
Especially the part where he was like, we both want the same thing. Exactly, they both want love, exactly, because she does want something. That. Exactly. So you kind of seen, again, that close up on her was like, I do want that. But then it's like, no, but I'm a cop. We're not the same. She had to, like,
and that allowed her, I think, to some extent. I mean, she already didn't really have her guard up like it should be, but that she was really thinking about that when she should have been watching him reach for a gun.
I think she did have her guard up, and she did get aggressive with him and told him to move, but he was, like, jerking on her heartstrings a little bit. But I don't think he was even close to her. You know what I mean? Like, even when he stopped at the tree, he was still a safe distance from her. So I feel like she still had her gun out. She was ready to shoot to kill if necessary, but I feel like she, I think she was paying attention. I just think it caught her off guard. I don't think it was necessarily the conversation, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting, the choice of just direction in terms of not seeing her get shot, which I'm actually kind of glad for, because I love her so much. Mm-hmm. You don't know who shot, so there's even more suspense building. Until Barry opens the door where him and Sally are, and he does his normal task of showering off the blood of his victims and going back into bed. It's creepy from a Sally perspective that's happening.
And she slept through it all, and she doesn't know anything.
Yeah. So are we thinking that the military gets more training than the police when it comes to, like, defending themselves? Is that like a known thing?
Or? Well, I don't know. I mean, to me, I do feel part of it is that she was in a different emotional space than Barry was. I mean, you and I disagree on that. So I think that fundamentally, if she was all, like, bad cop, you know, like Kevin Bacon or somebody, this might not have gone down that same way. Like, because she should have gotten some shots off. I mean, we didn't see it, so we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know, you know, how it really went down. Like, maybe she did get fire shot off, or maybe something grazes shoulder. Yeah.
And also, we are forgetting, like, she's spent time with Barry on multiple occasions, and I think even now in this at dinner, they were talking about, like, he really wanted her at the show that he was going to have. So I think she's going off the fact that normal people with that sort of connection would not be able to kill someone, but Barry has no social grasp or connection. Like, he doesn't understand connections and relationships, that she doesn't understand the depth of what he's capable of.
True, very true. And I think, like, the scene where she finally realizes it, and like you said, it's another callback to an earlier episode when she was like, yeah, you know, if you saw this person in this video, you would know him. And she was looking like, I know him.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
That was such a good moment, because I feel like even though she knows he's a killer, there's something in her that's like, I know him, and she almost views him, I think, at this point, as a friend, you know? So I think that's also, not so much that it distracted her, but it's hard to really be like, I'm ready to shoot to kill someone that, like, I actually know.
That scene gave me the chills.
Yeah, that scene was, that was amazing. That was a great scene. She did so well with that.
Yeah, and it just continues to make me question, because when he got back into bed with Sally and was like, okay, starting now, I was like, do I want him to be good? Like, am I still rooting for him? And then he just killed off my favorite character.
Maybe he just, like, grazed her. Then he knocked her in the head real hard and took her to another part of the woods. And she has amnesia.
I think he threw her in the lake.
I think he threw her in the lake, too. But she could come up down the stream somewhere and don't remember who she is. I'm hoping.
I'm fine with that, too. As long as she comes back season two, I'm with that one. Exactly. I'm going to keep hoping until they tell me it's gone.
Her computer's still there, so I hope his Facebook page is off of her computer, because do we think he needs to delete this
page? First of all, let's get it real right here, right now, okay? The moral of this whole season is, get your butt off of Facebook. If you have certain things, like if you married and you cheating, and if you're a hitman, then you don't need
or a drug
to be,
dealer.
And you're a drug dealer or doing any sort of illegal activity. You do not to be on Facebook. You not need to be friends with people that you're killing with.
Hello.
That's the problem.
Because you're telling about yourself at that time, right?
Oh, my God, yes.
You know, the FBI and the police really do look online.
Yes, clearly they do.
I don't know why people don't really understand
once
that.
Once you got his other name, and not trying to be funny, not that I've investigated anybody, but once you get their real name and their Facebook name, then you can really go to investigate. Because remember, there was an episode early on where she was like, who doesn't have a Facebook page? And that's because he had it under Barry Black and not... Berkman or whatever. Yeah. So I was like, that's what she was just like, oh, this name, my stage name? That's what assistant thinking. Check the new name on Facebook. Yes.
We want your government name. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so true. This episode did the best job of bringing back really important things that they so slyly put in.
Throughout the season, I loved that. That was really, it was subtle, but if you were really in tune to it, it was like really good. Like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so before we do our full, like, kind of wrap-up, let's do V's special cereal segment.
Yes, I need that Law and Order. So in this segment, serial killer actors. This one is the doozy because he's actually a porn star. Ooh. He's not a real actor, but hey.
Okay, hey, now don't pass judgment. Just tell us about his crime.
His name is John Holmes, and he admitted to his wife in 1981 that he had a central role in killing four people in a drug dealer's home in Los Angeles when he lured three gang members inside the home and watched them get a beat down, basically. One woman survived, the rest died, and he was charged.
I think they made a movie about this, right?
Oh, I didn't see this movie.
Go ahead.
Let's look up John Holmes and see if there's a movie.
I think there was a movie about this, I thought.
He was charged with four counts of murders, but he was acquitted later. He died at 44, though.
On what charges?
Wow.
Murder.
No, was he acquitted?
Of all the charges. He didn't go to jail for the murder.
Wow.
Because they were drug dealers, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's why
I want to say, I thought this sounds very similar to that Mark Wahlberg movie where he was the big porn star with the whatever.
Oh, it might be.
I haven't seen that.
It came out
Mark
like
Wahlberg?
a... This was like his first movie ever, almost. Yeah. Like, really? Many years ago. Many years. Like, in the 90s.
I'm trying. Well, it sounds like it could be a movie. If it's not.
It was because he was like, whatever.
I didn't see this movie, but wow, that sounds like a movie. Though.
If somebody knows, let us know. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, leave a comment if you know. Leave a comment.
Or I'll comment later because there was, I'm pretty sure it actually is a movie. And it was very good, actually.
Okay, I'm going to check it out. But he's a killer and he admitted it to his wife. And I guess she told him.
Yeah, but he got out, so.
He probably didn't have a Facebook, is the moral of the story.
It was in the 80s.
It's probably like Robert Blake and OJ. If you got a good lawyer, dude, you straight. Yeah.
The glove didn't fit. Okay.
You must acquit. Okay, so I have a few things. I guess we should just, I want to ask you guys, like, your favorite parts of the season and what... I guess let's just focus on Barry, too, as a character first. I think my favorite part about him is, like, the complexity. Mm-hmm. And in just in the show in general, we have... It kind of seems simple on the outside, and then you really break it down, and you're like, this is so complex, this hitman wanting to be an actor and also doesn't know any sort of social cues or has connections. And he starts the season, like, simple. Like, he's portable. Him and Fuchs go places to places, don't have any connections. And by the end of the season, he's completely tied up with an entire acting organization. NoHo, like, two different gang organizations. And it just somehow does this perfect thing where he all the characters elevated and you get to know them a little better. But there's so much room for more.
Yeah. I think my favorite character, let's see, I would say, I like Detective Moss, but then I also like Custino, though, because he's just like one of those, like, you know, just free spirited, like, you know, just cool old dudes. Yeah. Like a cool old dude. I don't know. He was cool. Yeah. I would like him for my acting teacher. He seems like, you know, he brings it out of them. I don't know. Were any of them good actors?
Not in the scenes we saw.
Yeah.
Or was he just taking their money?
Cast judgment. Yeah. We do not know how long they've been in class.
I think he was my favorite. And then with him getting with Paula and Detective Moss, I think that was my favorite part of the show.
Dynamic duo, for sure.
Yeah, that scene where he's calling her, like, oh, you look good. No, I love that. I love that. And then yes. he's like, oh, I need a kick in the balls. Mm.
I would like a little quirky dude like that.
Her coyness in her side, because everyone else is standing towards the camera. She's off on the side. Yeah. And just
I
coy.
Loved that. Oh, that, like, that I had my heart right there. Yes. I was like, yes, the case is over. You can get your love, girl. Yes. Get your love. What I really like about Barry as a character is similar to maybe the first four seasons of Dexter or whatever that I liked about Dexter. I like the idea that... not that people should be murderers or whatever, but it's an interesting concept to see this person that's kind of quiet and nerdy that people have a tendency to step on and kind of treat badly, have this other side. Like, if you really knew who you were dealing with, you would check yourself. Mm. And that's what's so interesting and intriguing. And so I loved, like, in this episode, I loved the part when he finally punches Fuchs. Yeah. And then he hits him again. I'm like, yes, finally... You know, you're using some of that force against the one person that's really kind of taking advantage of you. So sooner or later, he's going to stand up to Sally, but she's still sleeping with him. So I guess it won't be, you know, anytime soon. But I like it when he kind of shows that other side. Because he's like, no, I'm not always a mouse. I'm not always someone you can run over. I'm actually very proficient in what it is that I do. Mm-hmm.
So telepathy going on, because Erica just said everything that I was trying to hold my tongue to say. No, but in piggybacking, I don't think Fuchs is done. I think he's still gonna come back. And the only thing about after was he left him and drove off was that he apologized. And I don't want Barry to that attachment there is just so it's tough. It's intricate and it's complicated because he is like family, basically. But right. then also he knows that he needs to get away from him because he doesn't want to still be a killer. He really is trying to become somebody new. So that was a breaking point that I was glad he was finally again starting over. But at the same time, I kind of he needs somebody that knows him and that I really, want him to be exactly. there to change.
And that's what's so sad, I think, to some extent, is that Fuchs is such a despicable person. Yeah. But he's the only person who really knows Barry all the way
exactly.
and still like loves him anyway. And we don't know, or they haven't shown us what happened to Barry's family. So you can, I mean, if this is the only person who, you know, from his past or from his family, it's all, Fuchs is always going to be able to come back. I think.
And then secondly, I'm interested in just next season and Noho's role and not only being the leader now, Lord knows where that's just going to go to, but also just if he ends up being more vulnerable or just open with Barry and letting him know that I kind of like you more than
friends. Just friends.
Oh, they say he's just a friend.
Well, I don't think Barry wants to go that route, but I think Noho as a leader would definitely not be as, I guess, savage as the others because he has a soft spot for Barry. He tipped Barry off. So how are you going to be a mob boss leader and you're... have a soft spot. You got to be ready to kill anybody.
Okay, but we always have to remember now, back to the first or second episode, he also had a camera in his lipstick, which is how they even had a video of Barry to begin with.
That's why I say he's not a good mob boss.
He's a goofball, yeah. more so than even being able to kill people. So who knows how long they're going to stay out of jail.
And then one more plea that Detective Moss is coming back.
Please come back with amnesia, girl. You don't remember what happened to you.
She's going to get shot in the shoulder and come in and heal back up.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And now she's gonna be like a nice, sweet housewife. But that's what she's going to be.
What I don't understand is why can't cops let it go sometimes? Like, why couldn't she just be like, you know what? You are my friend, Barry.
I don't know. I think that's what they do in The Shield or something. There's a show with bad cops. I haven't seen that. There are cops that do that. They're just not on this episode.
That would be a good storyline, though, too, because then you maybe see just the difficulty of knowing that, number one, the case is not fully closed and she got the wrong person, and then she's still close enough to this person to be friends and or strong enough acquaintances to be right. you know around him. So that would be a good storyline, just to see how that would deal with her mind.
I think we're all just having wishful thinking because we're so sad
that from above she could come back.
No, this is what happened. Barry took her hostage and tied her up to a tree, so she's not dead.
You guys have to let us know what you're looking forward to in season two. Do we want this case to be closed? What do we want for Barry? Let us know in the comments. Also reach out to us outside of this. You can find me at Steph Sabra on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you guys so much for joining us all season. We can't wait to see you next season.
And you can catch me on the Love and Hip Hop Atlanta panel on Tuesdays. And you can check me out on Instagram at Conversation Piece. That's my Instagram. Or Twitter, Ms. Combo Piece. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
All right, you guys, you can catch me later tonight at the After Buzz show for The Terror, and tomorrow, or Wednesday, I should say, for Deception. And you can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
And again, I am Tequila. Thanks for tuning in this whole season and chatting with us. You can find me at Tequila_IAM. And again, tonight at 9 for The Arrangement on E!
All right, we'll see you guys next season.
From
you guys.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.